This is Radio Superior 1959, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
Guys, dolls, cats, and kittens, it's Tim Michaels here, your old fuddy-duddy buddy on a bearskin rug. It's a radioactive Saturday, September 19th, 1959. Danny Anderson has the 6 o'clock Nikita News. George G. Newton of George G. Newton and Yealy Realty has some pads that cats and kittens cannot afford or wouldn't let your doggy do live in.
True, Tim Boy, real cute.
And Danny is interviewing some really, really old guy about being really, really old. I want to know his secret, man.
He likes extra fat on his meat.
Natch! Wayne Brothers brings us Denny's news. They've got cars, appliances, furniture, boats, kitchen sinks, bearskin rugs, everything. Get a 24-foot fiberglass boat. Only $175. Open 7 days a week. Lake Brothers in Minong, Wisconsin. Now, it's time for the DA.
Nikita scrapped the world's armies plan to the UN, gets Western chill. He wants to see more working men on his U.S. tour. And 60 ore boats are laid up in the Duluth Superior Harbor from the steel strike. We begin our world report from New York.
This is Jack Bell at the United Nations. Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev's four-year plan for a world without armies or arms struck most non-communist diplomats today as propaganda maneuver, but one worthy of study. Western delegates at the UN promised to give consideration to the plan, but the prediction is they will eventually reject it as a utopian dream everyone shares, but only a dream at the present stage of the East-West struggle. Disappointment is felt at many world capitals that his widely advertised program put forward before the 82-nation General Assembly offered little new. Khrushchev was vague about controls for scrapping weapons of war, and Western insistence on controls has been the nub of the disarmament deadlock. Secretary of State Christian Herter says the scheme will require careful examination, though it seems to repeat proposals for total disarmament made by the Soviets in 1952 and 1955. Communist delegations from Hungary and Poland hail this Soviet proposal as a big step forward, but suspicions are widespread among other diplomats and in non-communist world capitals. Alice in Wonderland, commented one Western diplomat here. It sounds so easy, I think the Soviets must take us for morons, quipped a prominent Asian. In Alberta, Canada's Nobel Peace Prize winner Lester Pearson warns it should be studied both between and behind the lines. Khrushchev told the General Assembly in a 65-minute speech, quote, "The essence of our proposals is that over a period of 4 years, all states should effect complete disarmament and should no longer have any means of waging war. There should remain only limited contingents of police with small arms to maintain internal order," end quote. Republican Senator Alexander Wiley of Wisconsin, ranking Republican member of the Foreign Relations Committee, says, quote, "Khrushchev speaks sweet words of peace, yet he fails to offer any real formula or Soviet effort for establishment of a real foundation for peace." Disarmament Subcommittee Chairman Senator Hubert Humphrey of Minnesota says, quote, "We ought not to pass it off as a mere propaganda stunt. We should give it careful scrutiny and study," end quote. In neutral Sweden, the independent Dagen Nyheter labeled the speech as a great disappointment for the West and declared it impossible to take seriously. Stockholm's newspaper, close to socialist premier Tage Erlander, ran the headline, "Biggest Trojan Horse Ever Built." Chiang Kai-shek's Chinese nationalist government said, quote, "Unless the communist bloc abandons its plan of world conquest, all Soviet talk of disarmament does not mean anything," end quote. The Soviet delegate to the Geneva nuclear conference, Professor Eugene Fedorov, declared over Moscow radio that Khrushchev had, quote, "showed how to solve the problem of disarmament most simply." At the United Nations, this is Jack Bell.
This is Lyle C. Wilson in New York. Nikita Khrushchev took a brisk, uneventful tour of Harlem today and then flew to Los Angeles for a quick look at the West, including his request to see Disneyland. Much had been made of his plans to visit Harlem, one of the world's best-known Negro communities. Communists often point accusingly at this country's Negro policies, and U.N. Ambassador Henry Cabot Lodge, Khrushchev's guide on this trip, says that we still have far to go. Trucks had washed down the streets before Khrushchev went by, cleaning the place up a bit. Several hundred people were out when he went by, a few waved. At the airport, Khrushchev touched on a point that has bothered everyone who has watched his whirlwind campaign. He is meeting plenty of big shots, but scarcely any garden variety Americans. Khrushchev says he is sorry he isn't seeing more working people. From his meetings, he has the impression that the leaders, and especially the people, do not want war. Quoting him, "Unfortunately, I did not have the opportunity to come in contact with the ordinary people of New York. The working people might ask why there were no meetings between them and me. I have been told of some provocative elements who take a negative attitude. It is my firm impression that those who are unfriendly are very few, only a drop in the stream." In New York, this is Lyle C. Wilson, United Press International.
This is Duke Skorich at Cape Canaveral, Florida. The Vanguard 3 satellite soared into orbit today and revived sagging U.S. prestige in space exploration. The 100-pound satellite was boosted aloft by the last of the Vanguard rockets. Once the scapegoat for American space failures, it thus ended its hard luck history on a triumphant note. The success followed two straight American space flops. Just 14 hours before, a Thor rocket fizzled in an attempt to place a 265-pound navigation satellite in orbit. On Wednesday, a Jupiter missile carrying mice and frogs exploded 1,000 feet above its launching pad. The flops came during Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev's U.S. visit, basking in the limelight of Sunday's successful moonstrike. The satellite was the third in 11 tries by the Vanguard. Its job is to measure the Earth's magnetic field, solar X-rays, micrometeorite bombardment, and temperatures both inside and outside the satellite. NASA officials estimate the satellite will remain aloft for 30 to 40 years. They say its radio equipment should operate for about 3 months. Vanguard 1, the grapefruit-sized satellite launched March 17, 1958, is expected to whirl around the Earth for 2,000 years. Vanguard 2, the size of a basketball, is expected to stay aloft for 200 years. At the Cape, this is Duke Skorich, Associated Press.
This is Stan Turner in West Berlin. A new Jewish community center is nearing completion here to replace the synagogue burned by Hitler's stormtroopers. Mayor Willy Brandt will turn over the new center to the city's Jewish community on September the 27th. The consecration of the synagogue is scheduled for October 1st. The two-story modernistic structure is built on the site of the old Fasanenstrasse synagogue. That was Germany's most famous and largest until Kristallnacht, November 9, 1938. Kristallnacht, so named because of the smashed Jewish shop windows that littered the streets of German cities, marked the start of the Nazis' all-out assault on the Jews. Hitler's brown-shirted stormtroopers burned 177 synagogues, killed 30 Jews, jailed 20,000 others, and wrecked 7,500 Jewish firms. On narrow Fasanen Street, jeering stormtroopers held back firefighters as the massive synagogue burned to a shell. West and East Berlin have a Jewish population of about 7,500, compared with a pre-Hitler figure of 175,000. In West Berlin, this is Stan Turner.
AFL-CIO unions will approve a fund today of $30 million per month to aid striking steelworkers. The Federation's 135 unions will commit their treasuries plus a pledge of outright gratis to aid the half-million steelworkers in their 66-day strike. The strike fund guarantees that no steel striker or his family goes hungry and that the steel union will not have to weaken its demands because of financial shortage. Under the proposal, every one of the 12 million AFL-CIO members is asked to contribute an hour's pay per week to the fund. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Tim Michaels has this message from Link Brothers in Minong.
It's the big end of the month sale going on at Link Brothers, and I'll tell you, it's the sale you have been waiting for. Everything in the store is marked way downstairs. Just remember, you can try with nothing down, free delivery, and no payments until the middle of November. Here are some examples in the appliance department. A 20-gallon automatic gas water heater, Honeywell controlled, regular price $89.95, our price $49.95. In the furniture department, a six-year crib full panel with a decal, three-position spring, plastic teething rail all the way around. Regular price $44.30, sale price $18.95. And if you're looking for some great deals on some used cars, how about this? A 1959 Ford Fairlane. or a 1954 custom 300 four-door. These beauties are only $16.95. So this is a deal you're not going to want to pass up. It's going on right through the Sunday. It's open 7 days a week. Link Brothers in beautiful downtown Minong, Wisconsin. Phone EX2164. Denny, back to you.
A caravan will form in Superior and then proceed to the Duluth Airport September 27th to welcome Massachusetts Senator John Kennedy, possible Democratic presidential candidate, who will speak at Superior Central High School that night. Kennedy Committee Chairman Richard Herubin says Kennedy will hold a press conference at the Duluth Airport and then take a boat tour of the Superior Duluth Harbor. At 6 p.m. on KDAL-TV, he will take part in a panel discussion with area newsmen. Kennedy's speech in Superior is open to the public. Enrollment for the fall term at Superior State College has reached an all-time high of 1,194. Last fall's enrollment was 1,168. That was the previous all-time high. The 1,194 figure at SSC does not include graduate enrollment, according to Instruction Dean John Danielson. And pickets will come down at one ore dock while 60 ships lay up as the steel strike drags on. KUWS newsman Mike Simonson reports.
Iron ore will be shipped next week with the withdrawal of pickets from the Duluth, Mesabi, and Iron Range Railroad property. The ore will go to the Northern Pacific Dock in Superior. Pickets were withdrawn because of a temporary injunction issued Wednesday by a federal court judge in Duluth, according to Francis Helgeson, the United Steelworkers Union attorney. Shipment of 130,000 tons of stockpiled ore will be made by steamer Henry G. Dalton, berthed at the Fraser Nelson shipyards. Most of the Great Lakes iron ore freighters are laid up at ports throughout the lakes. Only 37 out of the 243 American ore boats are in service. Thus, 85% of the fleet is in layup. There are 60 Lakers moored at Duluth Superior Docks awaiting the end of the strike. Large concentration of ships are at the Mesabi Ore Docks in Duluth and at the Fraser Nelson Shipyard in Superior. Other vessels are at downtown Duluth Docks, the Great Northern Ore Docks in Eloise, the Coal Docks in Superior, and in West Duluth. Lake vessels laid up at the head of the lakes include members of 14 major fleets, Denny.
The British cargo freighter Ramon de Larranaga damaged its starboard side above the waterline, moving up the St. Lawrence Seaway. It'll be in the shipyard for a week as several shell plates and hull frames are replaced. The Larranaga was the first large ocean vessel to reach the head of the lakes this spring via the new St. Lawrence Seaway and is now on its fourth trip here for grain. Superior Duluth has jumped from third to first place among grain exporting ports. The port shipped 12.3 million bushels of grain during August. New Orleans was second. The Twin Ports shipped more than 4% of the nation's grain exports last year, but has already handled 26% of the grain exported this year, the first year for the St. Lawrence Seaway. And that's the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind.
Denny Anderson, the sweetest, kindest newsman in the Twin Ports. You're going to be on that newsman panel on Channel 3 and meet Jack Kennedy? I hear Dick Anthony, Lou Martin, and Earl Hinton are going to be there.
Is this a kindness test to see if I'd get mad for not being asked?
You better believe it, and you just passed my Big Ten Commandments that say, don't get mad, just show them how it's done, cats and kittens. Now, how about a hocus-pocus weather in focus, the magic ball for this Saturday night, September 19th, 1959, starring tonight, low 50, warmer and sweet sunshine tomorrow with a high of 63. I suppose with this song I should kind of whisper, but I'm not. From the cream of the crop, from the top of the pots, from the stack of the back of the wax, it's time for the Mystics and Hush-a-bye. Right here on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Hush-a-bye, hush-a-bye, oh my darling, don't you cry. Guiding angels up above, take care of the one I love. Oh, hush, 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 guardian angels up above, take care of the one I love. I shall hold you by. I shall hold you by. Still on lying on your bed, oh my darling, rest.
rest your head. Salmon will be coming soon, singing you a slumber tune.
Laurie Records, the doo-wop sound of the Mystics, and Hushabye on Kickin' KUWS. You know, Alan Freed closes his TV show, The Big Beats, with Hushabye, just so his babes can go to sleep. Hey, gang, if you're in Minneapolis to watch Jack McKenna MC All-Star Wrestling, stay at the Pic Nicolet Hotel. They've got 600 out-of-this-world pads with a bath from $5.50 a night. Kids and birds get to stay free. Free air conditioning, radio and TV in every room. Check out their great grub at the Waikiki Room, the Jolly Miller, and the snazzy named room, the Coffee Shop. Phone Federal 33177 for reservations at the Pic Nicolet Hotel in Minneapolis. Hey, the super old guy and his daughter are next, but right now the Coasters and Poison Ivy on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
She comes on like a rose, but everybody knows she'll get you in touch. You can look, but you better not touch. Poison Ivy. Poison Ivy comes a-creeping around. She's pretty as a daisy, but look out, man, she's crazy. She'll really do you in if you let her get under your skin. Poison Ivy, Poison Ivy. Late at night while you're sleeping, Poison Ivy comes a-creeping around. Measles will make you bumpy, and mumps will make you lumpy, and chicken pox will make you jump and twitch. A common cold will fool ya, and whooping cough can cool ya.
Poison Ivy, Lord, will make you itch.
You're gonna need an ocean of calamine lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound
the minute you start to mess around.
Poison Ivy, Poison Ivy.
Late at night while you're sleeping, Poison Ivy comes a-creeping around.
Measles will make you bumpy, and mumps will make you lumpy, and chicken pox will make you jump and twitch. A common cold will fool ya, and whooping cough can cool ya.
Poison Ivy, Lord, will make you itch.
You're gonna need an ocean of calamine lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound
the minute you start to mess around.
Poison Ivy, Poison Ivy.
Late at night while you're sleeping, Poison Ivy comes you creeping around.
Not a pretty as a daisy, comes on like a rose. Poison Ivy with the Coasters on Kickin' KUWS. Lord, it'll make you itch.
Eugene Bellinger of South Superior and his daughter Rose are with us.
Nothing personal, Rose, about that comes on like a part.
Oh, it's all good fun, I'm sure. Mumps will make you lumpy. I love that part.
I got in a batch of that stuff once. Broke out from head to toe, I did. I itched for a week. Stayed away from the shiny plant ever since. I learned, boy. I learned.
Maybe that's why you're about to celebrate your 100th birthday next Saturday, Mr. Bellinger.
Not many people live to say their 100th birthday. Say, Why did you invite me on this here show today? Why didn't you wait until my birthday next Saturday? Didn't think I'd make it, boy?
No, sir.
Dad can get a little cantankerous, but he's just a kidder.
I was born in Quebec, Canada, 27 September 1858, third youngest of 11 children, and the only one still living. My secret? Hard work, early to bed, good food, and clean living.
No matter who the company is, when Big Ben strikes the magic hour of 9 p.m., Dad's off to bed.
That advice will cost you a cookie.
Yes, sir.
I had to be at work at 7 a.m., but I'm up and at 'em by 5:30. Retired 29 years ago. Last job was in the fire room at the old Webster Chair Factory in South Superior. I was there nigh on 22 years. Never lost a chair.
Very humorous, Mr. Bellinger.
Nothing funny about that, boy. You one of those smarty pants?
No, sir.
You're getting cantankerous, Dad.
I'll tell you something else, by gad. I never acquired the habit of smoking, but I'll take a nip of brandy now and again. I take it straight up so I can taste it. If you're wondering about eating, I like it. It's meat, potatoes, gravy, and soup. I like my soup. Tomatoes, mon favorite.
And you like your hard candy, especially butterscotch.
As far as meats goes, I like it a little on the fatty side. Gives it flavor.
Pa doesn't eat much nowadays, but he still has his sweet tooth. He's a little hard of hearing and speaks French more fluently than English.
On account of I didn't come to this country until I was 22. I always wanted to live to be 100, and I always look forward to each birthday cake. How many more days until my birthday?
Just 7 days, and you'll get a nice cake with lots of sweet frosting.
I love frosting, although it makes my gums tingle.
It wasn't until a few days after Christmas that he didn't get outside for some sort of exercise. It was only 4 years ago that he quit changing storm windows and painting the house. A year ago, he was out cutting the lawn. Why, he loves to get his fresh air.
I like cutting down trees at the cabin, too. Got a swell cabin on Lake Amnicon. It's pretty there. Bell, especially now. The leaves are starting to turn. Goes good with a nip of brandy, it does. Well, let me adjust my beret. Well, that's it, boy. Not very talkative, is he, Rose? Let's go and fry up some steak.
Mr. Eugene Bellinger, who will turn 100 next Saturday.
You can't come to my party if you bring some butter, Brickle.
So, if you want to live to be 100, drink brandy straight, eat fatty red meats, and be ornery at Nice Guy Denny and chow down on cookies, candy, and cake. That is crazy, Daddy-O.
If you don't enjoy life, sonny, you're not living.
Here's a gift for you, a bottle of Love Potion No. 9 by the Clovers.
Oh, they bottle that now, n'est-ce pas?
I wish.
I took my troubles down to Madame Rue. You know that gypsy with the gold cap, too. She's got a pad on 34th and Vine. Selling little bottles of Love Potion No. 9. She looked at the palm and she made a magic sign. She said, what you need is Love Potion No. 9. She bent down and turned around and gave me a wink. She said, I'm gonna mix it up right here in the sink. It smelled like turpentine and looked like India ink. I held my nose, I closed my eyes.
I took a drink.
I didn't know it was a day or night. And everything in sight. But when I kissed the cop at 34th and Vine, he broke my little bottle of Love Potion No. 9. I held my nose, I closed my eyes.
I took a drink.
I didn't know. Everything in sight. But when I kissed the top at 34th and Vine, he broke my little heart.
The Clovers with the secret to a long, happy life and love potion number 9 on Kickin' KUWS. I never heard you say sir so many times.
Well, he's almost 100. It seemed like the right thing to do.
And he's a nice guy. I mean, you got to respect the man who's lived so long.
And drink so much.
I like a nip of brandy myself. There's nothing wrong with that, Tim Boy.
Now it's time for Reality and Realty with George G. Newton of George G. Newton and Yelly Realty. Hiya, George.
Just don't call me sir. I'm not 100 yet. Hope to get there, but I got a few years to go before I catch up with Gene Bellinger. Say, that Khrushchev visit. Now, that's something else.
That's the cat's meow, man, and he's going to visit Disneyland today.
Everyone wants a photo op with Mickey and Minnie Mouse. If you ask me, it's a stunt. Hey, what the heck? I hope he does get to see more working-class people. He should see the for sale signs on houses and not the housing crunch they have in the Soviet Union. And about that steel strike. Goodness, that's been 2 months and...
And so what's a good price on a house these days?
Right, Danny boy, right you are. Old George getting off track is like Jimmy Hoffa saying, corruption? What corruption? Let's start with George G. Newton's sweetest deal. I just listed this one today. It's a 7-room home with furniture on 6 lots for just $4,300. That's right. I said $4,300. And the owner says he'll take a car or a house trailer as a trade.
Is this 7-room house in a swamp with alligators or something?
Maybe a 7-room cave.
Nope. It is outside the city limits. It does need some fixer-upping. But hey, you can't lose on this deal. And at 2121 Butler Avenue, there's 3 rooms on the main floor, 3 rooms and a bath upstairs, a partial basement, and genuine cement foundation, and the owner will let it go for a mere $3,300. I got a 3-room apartment, furnished, with a refrigerator and a washing machine, and it's at 1300 Banks Avenue in Superior. Steam heat, just $31 a month to rent. And there's the apartment above People's Pharmacy on Belknap. Now you talk about conveniently located.
If you had a headache, you just yell downstairs for some aspirin.
There's 3 rooms, bath and a sun porch, a sweet place for just $50 a month. There's no barbecuing allowed on the sun porch, however. Last, but definitely not the least, I mean, I can't believe I got this property. Wow. Okay, here goes. 2703 Hammond Avenue. It's a nice neighborhood. Ranch-style home with attached garage and a breezeway. Big living room-dining room combo. 3 bedrooms and a playroom. Beautiful lot, too. It's newly painted. FHA approved. This dream home is just $22,250. Granted, it's upper range, but hey, you got to live a little a whole lot in this place. Just like Mr. Ballinger said, I'll show it by appointment only.
Exhale, Tim.
Who would pay $22,250 for a pad? I need a KUWS twin spin about Lost Girlfriends. Let's kick it off with Susie Darlin and Robin Luke on the Tim Michaels Dance Party,
$22,250. I stood watching all night long. Darling, I thought you knew.
The KUWS Twinsville, new this year and hot on the 1959 Billboard chart. Pittsburgh's own Skyliner is fronted by Jimmy Beaumont. And Since I Don't Have You on a KUWS Lost Girlfriend Twinsville. And that note, he broke the glass of my shades, man. The Skyliner's there, and Since I Don't Have You on a KUWS Lost Girlfriend Twinsville. Before that, it was Susie Darlin' by Robin Luke, which hit number 5 in last year's Billboard. Cats and Kittens, here's a lesson for you. He wrote and performed the Hot Wax, and he was just 16 years old. He says he wants to go to college and get a Ph.D.
And he wrote the song about his little sister, too.
She was just 5 years old. She must be a cutie.
Hey, I'm supposed to be the one with the jets about the Hot Wax. It kind of makes me happy. You know what I mean, man? And here's that labor guy.
Jay Fisher, Superior Labor Federation at your service. I heard that crack made about Hoffa and corrupt unions by Mr. Newton here. I means to tell you that I hurried over here when I heard labor slanderized like that.
Didn't mean to offend. Jimmy Hoffa and the Senate racketeering investigation is in all the papers.
It doesn't mean he or anyone's guilty. For years, opponents of organized labor say we were infiltrated with commies. That's just not true either. Labor has been out front to point out the fallacies of fascism, which is really what is going on in the Soviet Union. AFL-CIO President George Meany publicly condemned Premier Khrushchev for an almost unbroken record of lies, deceit, and aggression. He warned Americans not to be fooled by this guy. He's not one of us. Meany castigated Khrushchev for invading Hungary during the popular uprising in 1956, as well as present-day intrusions in Laos, Tibet, and India. And another thing, Khrushchev says his rocket to the moon made the Earth a little lighter and the moon a little heavier. Hardy, har, har. What he really did was make the U.S. of A. 25,000 pounds heavier, because that's how much luggage he and his entourage have.
Good rant. Thanks a lot, labor guy.
I got to agree with my labor friend here. Watching Nikita Khrushchev in his first sunny moments on American soil, well, you could find yourself imagining that what showed on the silver surface of your TV screen was really true. In those fleeting fancies, you could think of the smiling, almost comically genial Soviet premier as genuine to the core in his warmly expressed wishes for friendship and peace with America. Gee, how wonderful that would be for mankind, grinding painfully through the 20th century, if this were only so.
What's happening, man?
George is on a roll.
Yeah, waxing poetic, I guess.
What a great day September 15th, 1959 could have been if when Khrushchev stepped from his plane to shake hands with President Eisenhower, it had meant the binding of the world's two most powerful nations in a sincere pact aimed at the security and the betterment of all of us. For a few seconds, that illusion was there on our television set, as a stocky peasant figure grinned engagingly, evidently pleased to be in a land he'd longed to see. The illusion couldn't be sustained. The mind kept brushing it away, revealing the smiling man for the tough, ruthless, amoral tyrant we know from the record that he is.
Amen, brother.
This man, who says he wants friendship, repressed Hungary in his desperate gasp for free air. He holds millions of people behind the Iron Curtain in Eastern Europe in bondage. He rattles his nuclear arsenal for all the world to hear. He connives at undermining every free government that lives. This is a man who shouts peace, smiles peace, promises peace, but he never delivers peace at the council table. He wants us to disarm, but he won't agree to the setting aside of a single rifle when the hard negotiation begins. His would be a truly memorable visit if only the mask you see on TV was a true man.
And another thing, how come Mr. and Mrs. K got tickets to Music Man in New York when 100% Americans are still waiting?
That's true. You know, Music Man's been showing on Broadway since 1957, the full houses.
And with that, time to cut out, cats and kittens. For those without Saturday night dates, that's cool, because KDAL-TV has your old fuddy-duddy buddies' faves. Wanted Dead or Alive, Have Gun Will Travel, and Gunsmoke.
This just in from Los Angeles.
How come news guys get to interrupt like that?
Nikita Khrushchev has been denied access to Disneyland after a tour of 20th Century Fox and meeting actress Shirley MacLaine and singer Frank Sinatra. Khrushchev then was told his much-anticipated trip to Disneyland was off because they couldn't guarantee his safety. Mr. Khrushchev then exploded with anger and said, "Is there an epidemic of cholera or something? Have gangsters taken hold of the place?"
Interesting turn of events.
We'll be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and Nikita doesn't go ballistic over Disneyland. For Denny Anderson and the gang, this is Tim Michaels rocking your world.
Bye now.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1959, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances for tonight's show are by Duke Skorich, John Munson, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1959 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram and Duluth Herald. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
The British cargo freighter Ramon de la Raga. Wait a minute here, now.
I never acquired the habit of smoking. I take a nip of brandy now and I... What is that, Spanish? What am I doing there? God. Ooh la la. Paris, chauffeur, soup toujours.